Luke chapter 21 and verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, you bless, dear God, as we on very much on purpose tonight, Lord, if we would point our hearts and our minds, Lord, towards this new year and this new opportunity that lays before us. And I pray that you would direct me, Lord, as I present what I think we need to say and the direction we need to go and talk about some of the things we intend to do. And Lord, we, of course, are mindful of what James cautioned us about, where we ought to always say, if the Lord will, when planning about tomorrow. But Lord, if you will, then help us to be willing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. There are three times where Jesus, the wording may be a little different, but where he's basically encouraging us or talking about this matter, addressing this subject of lifting up your eyes. And so let me give you those three in introduction tonight, and then challenge Blessed Hope Baptist Church to do that very thing, lift up your eyes. Now, if you'll notice here in the first portion of Scripture, the instruction comes in the last verse that we read, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We need to, number one, lift up our eyes and see how soon Christ's coming is. Now notice when it says here, these things begin to come to pass. Well, what are these things? Well, what he was talking about in the previous verses, verse 25, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Does that mean something to you? Can you not get that picture of the tsunami coming in and literally wiping out thousands of people and thousands of buildings, are you thinking? And men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And what you're going to find out, folks, that as we get closer to the end, God himself is literally going to begin to shake the world. He's going to restructure what has we've always seen as normal in the very foundation of the earth. And one of the signs of when these things begin, and these things are beginning, we know that by studying the book of Revelation, looking into the tribulation period, that there's going to be catastrophic things happen on earth. Catastrophic things happen in the planets and with the stars and with the sun. But we are beginning to see these things come to pass. I talked to Brother Dan Goodwin, who really keeps up on this stuff and is kind of cutting edge on this coming of Christ and the signs of the time. And he called me this week to ask me a different question. And then he said, Brother Jerry, do you get the Drudge Report or see the Drudge Report? And I said, no, I don't. He said, check it out this week. This week, look back at this week. He said, they are beginning to close airports. They did two this week. I want to say that he said Florida, maybe Texas. I want to say Florida, that they closed two airports completely down to redraw and repaint the lines because our earth is beginning to tilt in such a way that the magnetic fields are changing, and these planes come in based on a compass reading, and already the earth, now folks, this has never been done before. This has never happened before. And the earth is literally shifting. And he said, they will tell you that if this continues to happen, we're going to begin to see things happen on the earth affecting the tides, affecting the weather, affecting the climate, causing of storms and earthquakes and tsunamis. Doesn't it sound like maybe everything's getting ready for the end times? Now, I'm not going to get into this. Brother Reiser told me up here real quick, and he's another one that keeps up on a lot of these things. But he said that in 2010, the report just came out that more people in the world were killed by natural disasters in 2010 than in any time the previous 50 years. Now, what we better understand is God's starting to shake this old world. He's going to start literally coming down and affecting His creation. Everything that He put in motion these many thousands of years ago with His spoken word, He's beginning, I believe, to allow the earth to change and the heavens to change and no longer accommodate us, no longer be the perfect place that He wanted us to dwell. You know why, folks? Because He's a bad God. No, because He's a wonderful God who will not forever tolerate the sinfulness of mankind. Lift up your eyes. The Bible says, first of all, Jesus, when He addressed this subject of lifting up your eyes, lift up your eyes and see just how soon the coming of Christ's return is. Now, if you will, go to John chapter 4. Let's look at the other two places where Jesus addresses this subject of the lifting up of the eyes. In John chapter 4, verse number 34, most of you probably know a little bit about where we're going here, but John chapter 4 and verse number 34, Jesus says this, John 4:34. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent Me and to finish His work. By the way, he told his mom and dad the same thing when he was 12 years old. Know ye not it? Wist ye not I must be about My... And you know what he says to his disciples these many years later? My meat is to do the will of Him that sent Me and finish His work. By the way, I'd love to see some 12-year-old boys decide now that your life is about finding the will of God and finishing the work that God sent you to do on this earth, and Me then find you at 33 years of age and you still saying the same thing, still getting it. Amen. Isn't that good? That's Christ-likeness right there. Understanding why you were put on this earth and then never getting off that. I was placed here to do My Father's business. There's things God wants Me to accomplish. My job is to find those things and let God direct me to those things and accomplish those things while we still have time. Now notice what the next verse says. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent Me and to finish His work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. So isn't it interesting that the progression here is asking the church, asking the disciples, look up, lift up, look up and lift up your head and realize my coming will come sooner than you can imagine. Be aware of what is happening on earth. Here are the specific things that are going to precede it. And here we are as Americans, and we ought to have a clear view of these things and a clear understanding that Christ's return is very near. And then we go from lifting up our eyes and beholding the nearness of Christ's return to lifting up our eyes and seeing the potential harvest, that unharvested harvest that still is out there that we need to get busy harvesting. And we're talking here about the souls of lost men, folks. We're not talking about corn or soybeans or wheat that were left in the field. We're talking about the souls of lost men. And so the church at the beginning of a year, 2011, there's a couple good things we can do. Lift up our eyes and remember Christ is going to come back soon. Then lift up our eyes. Lift up our eyes. By the way, what he's saying there is look farther than you've ever looked before. Look more clearly than you've ever looked before. See it as you've never seen it before. We're talking about a new vision, a fresh vision for a new year. And to realize that with the nearness of Christ's return, there we are living in the last days. There is a great potential harvest. And of course, he addressed in Matthew the need to pray for laborers to come into the harvest. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now, let me show you where the last place where Christ addresses the subject of the lifting up of your eyes. Let's go, of all chapters, think about this, to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. A little word study brought me to this little 3-point introductory outline tonight. Lift up your eyes and see how soon Christ's return. Lift up your eyes and see the potential harvest, that unharvested harvest. And then, folks, if the church fails to see how soon Christ is coming back, and if the church fails to see the potential harvest, Look, if you will, in Luke 16, verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Watch this. And in hell he what? Lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I believe that there are people. Stay with me, church. Stay with me. Preacher, I was hoping you might bring some brand new message for a brand new year. Folks, we need a new vision, but we need to just walk the old path. We just need a new vision, but we need to stay on the old path. And let me just say this. As the church fails to lift up their eyes and see Christ coming, fail to lift up their eyes and see the harvest. As the church, watch this, what are we doing with our eyes if we're not looking outward? We've turned all of our attention. In the last days, men shall be lovers of their. And that's the sins, not just out in the world, that's sins in the church house. Oh, preacher, not another one of these messages, not another one of these things. Come on, don't you understand? I've got a busy life, and I got my own problems, and I got bills to pay, and you're always coming to the pulpit with something else. And yeah, I know. Your eyes have left looking up. Your eyes no longer scan the fields. Your eyes have become focused on you and yours and your situation and your wants and your needs and your problems. But Jesus said, lift them up! Lift them up! Lift them out, church. Lift them out. Because as we fail in this matter of lifting up our eyes, more and more people are dying and they are lifting up their eyes. And they're lifting up their eyes in hell. Hey, young person, you're young. Come on. You got a lot of energy. What are you going to do with your life? See how big a house you can live in one of these days? See how fancy of a car you can drive? What are you going to do with your life? See how much money you can make? See how much fun you can have? See how much pleasure you can enjoy? What are you going to do? You got a life. You got a life. You got youth. You've got energy. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Now, I want to preach on this subject tonight, a new vision for a new year. We do need, I believe, every single year to renew our vision for the Lord Jesus Christ and for lost souls. When we renew our vision, what does that mean, preacher? We need to see what we cannot see. Number one, we need to see what we cannot see. That's why I'm preaching the series on Wednesday night on the invisible creation. If you can't begin to see what you cannot see, then you know what? You're never going to get the burden and have the understanding of what's really going on in this world. So we need to see what we cannot see. And then you know what? We need to see what we can see. And I'm talking about taking an honest look at ourselves and where we're at, an honest evaluation. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. It's good for us to allow ourselves to be put under the microscope, God's microscope. Have him do a accurate and holy and divine analysis of where we are. And find out where we... I'm not talking about making excuses. I'm talking about facing reality. I'm talking about... Listen, an honest look as a born-again Christian at the previous year and what we did or did not accomplish for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then an understanding that God has gifted us with a new year, a new opportunity. And folks, if nothing changes in your life, then the results that you're disappointed with now, you'll be disappointed again at the beginning of 2012 if God gives you life and God tarries his coming. And so at some point, we need to see the invisible. We need to see what we cannot see. We need to see reality. We need to see where we are and not make excuses and not play the blame game. And at some point say, is this the condition that I want to face the Lord in on his return? Then we need to see what can be. And I think that's exciting. You know, nothing's quite as neat. Oh, preacher, you know what? I've got this, and I've got this, and this happened in my life, and I've got this regret. Wait, you're talking about the past. And if you spend too much time looking backwards, you're not going to see very clearly looking forwards. And aren't you glad that we have a new year, and today's a brand new day, and you know what? The blood still covers sin, and God's a God of a second chance, and a third chance, and a fourth chance, and a fifth chance. And you know what? If you're serious about it, you want to say, I want to lay to rest some things in my life. I'm not pleased. I know God's not pleased with the way my life has been. And Brother Jerry, I'd like to take off on the most amazing year. I guess be the person and accomplish the things that in my heart I've always known that with God's help I could, but I've just never had the courage to try. I just like to do it this year. I just like to get to the end of this year and look back and say, you know what? God's hand was upon me this year. God used me this year. There are some eternal dividends. Eternal dividends from my investments in this past year. And so to see what can be, we need to see how we can become what we can be. It's one thing to see what you can be. It's another to go to the scripture and say, Lord, what do I need to do? What are the decisions I need to make? What are the weights that I need to lay aside? What are the sins I need to confess? What are the changes, the foundational changes that I need to make in my life? Say, preacher, why don't you go a little deeper with that? Because every single one of you are different, and every single one of you, this is an area where you have to stand before God yourself. Spend some time asking God in spiritual contemplation and meditation, God, show me. Show me. Be ugly honest with me. Put your finger on what you need to put on. And Lord, just help me. I want to be more. I want to be better. I want to go farther. I want to do things that maybe I've always known in my heart I could do, and I just never have had the courage to step out and do. Lord, help me to be the kind of person that you could be proud of and I could be proud of. And so we need to get a fresh vision. Now, I spoke a lot about us, first of all. You say, preacher, you were talking about lifting up your eyes. Folks, let me just give you the concept here, and this is what we base every year on. We do not, in this church, just show up and at the beginning of every year with a lot of hoopla and tell about and set out what we intend to do and how we intend to grow. Because I believe that there is the necessity, and I mentioned this last week, there's the necessity of inward growth if there's going to be outward growth. When we were putting the trailer on our property that for our in-laws and getting that trailer moved in, of course, we had to dig some footers, and then we had to have some cement poured, and then we had to do some preliminary work and rough in some things. Well, just to the east of where the trailer sits is a beautiful, beautiful old oak tree. I mean, huge, big, beautiful oak tree. And it sits probably about, 25, 30 yards to the east from the east end of the trailer. And of the morning when the sun comes up, it shades the trailer till about noon, and it's just a beautiful tree. And here I was digging not just to where the trailer starts, but we were digging. And by the way, some of my assistant pastors came out and heard about their poor preacher out there digging. I'm talking about digging with a postal digger. I'm talking about shovels. I'm talking about calluses, folks. I'm talking about manual labor. I was, yes, thank you very much, all right. And so, my wife looked out. I was laying like this in the yard, you know. One hole about that deep, you know, and finally she called and got me some help. But I just took off digging, and they heard about it, came over and helped me a little bit on it. But it's amazing. I got 60, 70 yards. I used to always hear that the size of the tree, the canopy of the tree, that the roots were equal to that underneath the ground. Well, not this tree. I'm talking, I was probably 40 yards outside the size of the canopy, and as we're digging, we're still running into large roots from that tree. And I want you to get this. When you drive by and you see a beautiful tree, a beautiful shade tree, and a blessing to look at, and a blessing to the birds of the field to nest in, and a blessing to find shade on a hot day, understand, folks, that what you see is not the reason that that thing is standing. What you do not see is the reason that it stands so strong and that it does what God has created it to do. And if we're going to grow upward, then we have to grow in depth here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And so that's why when we set goals at the beginning of every year, it's not just outward goals or goals of how we would like to see God bless the ministries or grow the ministries. We must grow as Christians. We must grow as Christians. I think I said that this last week, that numerical growth without spiritual growth is just a larger disaster waiting to happen. I believe that, by the way. And so are you willing to grow? Are you willing to go deeper for the Lord and become more like Jesus, more Christ-like? Are you willing to do that so that then we can go higher inward growth equals outward growth. Deeper growth equals higher growth. I believe that. We need a fresh vision for this year. We're going to make these available at the end of the service, and we'll have them back there by the ushers. I'll take them back with me if I remember to carry them back there. And we will let you have a calendar. I want you to, everybody here, to mark your calendar so you kind of know in advance the major things that we have planned here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want to talk to you a little bit about this tonight, go over just some of these. I probably won't talk about everything on here. But I want you to know that we intend to keep going forward here. You know, I'm not looking for a stopping place. I'm not looking to just hunker down and wait for Jesus to come. I want to be busy when he shows up. I want to look up my eyes and see farther than I've ever seen. I want to look up to the heavens and realize it's closer than it was a year ago. Christ is coming back. In January, we spent the first two Sundays just presenting the new theme and the vision for the new year. And we've done that. Now, on purpose, in the month of January, the 16th, the 23rd, and the 30th, and folks, let me tell you this. This is so important that you come. It's so important that you be here. It's so important that you come wanting to learn and wanting to get your sword sharpened. But we're going to have a soul winning training course. How many of you here are as good a soul winner as you need to be? Notice I don't have my hand up. I'm not. I want to be a better soul winner in 2011 than I was in 2010. I want to be a more effective witness in 2011 than I was in 2010. Now, notice this. We're just going to go back and hit the basics. We're just going to go back and do some retraining. We haven't done this for a few years. We need to do it. I would like to think that every single person that's in our Sunday night crowd at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is capable of picking up a New Testament or picking up a Bible and opening it up and showing somebody who is seeking Christ, showing somebody whom God has brought to a point of decision, how they can be a born-again Christian, how to be saved. And so we're gonna train you in that. We're going to teach you in that. And we're going to do a lot of teaching in just 3 weeks. Be honest with you, we're going to cram a lot of information in. I'm going to give you a lot of printed material so that if I don't get around to saying everything, you've still got it. You still have access to it. Now, let me say this. This ought to be standard in every church in America, that Christians are trained to be able to take a Bible and lead somebody who's lost to Jesus Christ. However, the honest truth is the average church member would have no idea. If a lost person walked to them and said, "Could you open the Bible and just show me from the Scriptures how to be born again?" They'd say, well, wait a minute. I'll have to call my pastor or I'll have to call somebody. Listen, that's not the way it ought to be. We ought to be ready to go. We ought to be able to do that. And not only just be ready if they come up and ask us, but be willing and ready and trained to be able to bring the subject up, be able to bring the conversation towards the Lord, to be able to ask the right questions, to be able to pique their interest, to be able to, if they want to know and allow us to open the Scriptures and show somebody how to be saved. That's an exciting thing. Wasn't that neat to read that letter this evening and hear about Brother Peach on deputation and hear they just happened. We talking about divine appointments here. We're going to talk about that on one of the Wednesday nights. Just happened to be looking for a piano. And this person just happens to decide to sell their piano. And they just happened to put an ad in the paper. And the preacher just happened to see the ad. And they just happened to go when this man is there. And he just happens to offer to help them load it. And then they're out there. And God has orchestrated this. God has set this moment up in time. Wait a minute, Christian. How many times have you had a similar appointment in 2010 and you finished and looked at that person and said thank you and got in your car and drove away and did not bring up the subject of eternity? Did not bring up the subject of eternity. Can you imagine all of heaven, all of the angels of heaven on the precipice of heaven looking down? They've watched God because they can see the invisible orchestrate in the person's life this point, this moment where they would be willing to listen to the gospel. And because we're ill-equipped or because we're Christian cowards, we walk away from those opportunities and are not willing to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think some of the reason is sometimes because we're not trained. Preacher, I would if I knew how. I just don't know how. Well, we want to take care of that, amen. We want to help you on that. So let's let that burden come upon us. Let's realize 2011 could be a great, great opportunity for many of you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but let me just ask you to set some goals. Number one, if you've never led a soul to Christ, I do not think this is wrong. And I'm not a person that prays that God would allow me to win a certain number of people. I like to set my goal as being able to witness to a certain number of people, not win them, because, you know, we plant, we water, God gives the increase. But maybe some of you, many of you, or a few, you've never, ever won a soul to Jesus Christ in your life. And by the way, there was a time when that was true of everybody in here, that you'd never won a soul to Jesus Christ. But you never have up to this point in your life. And that would be a noble goal to set. That would be a wonderful thing to just come to God with and say, Lord, this year, 2011, if you would help me, and if I, and Lord, I'll get ready, and I'll prepare myself, and if you'll help me, give me the boldness and strength to do it, I would love to win my first soul to the Lord in 2011. Wouldn't that be a great goal? What a lofty goal. Now, February, we're going to have Missions Emphasis Month, and we have on the upcoming events calendar here the different missionaries that will be coming in at the different times. And I think this is a wonderful month for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We must stay missionary-minded. I believe God's blessing is on missionary churches. I can remember in the early 70s, probably early to middle 70s, Dad taking us down a couple times, and we went and visited the great Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and walking in that old auditorium and seeing all of those flags from all of the countries of the world. And it was evident in just a few minutes that here was a church that, you know what, did not just have a vision to bring the gospel to Chattanooga. They wanted to take the gospel to the world. I want folks to walk into Blessed Hope Baptist Church and realize this is a missionary-minded church. This is a church that cares not just about us, but this is a church that cares about the world. And so we're going to re-energize during the month of February. And I won't go into all of the things we're going to do, but we're going to re-energize our missions program. We want to get that thing going. We want to keep it going. Listen, by the way, I want to help us in our missions giving. And so this is what I'm going to do. And then I want you to pray about it. All through the month of February, I want you to pray about what you're now presently giving to missions on a regular basis, what God would have you to do about that. If he'd have you to increase that, I want you to begin to pray. Pray all through the month of February as we emphasize missions. And I'm not into the high pressure. We don't do it that way. It needs to come from God. If the decision does not come from God, it's not made between you and God, you probably aren't going to keep it anyway. And so I want you to come to that decision. We want to take our Sunday school offering. Let me tell you the way we're doing it now. On Sunday morning, Sunday nights, we take an offering. Those are our tithes and offerings. Those go to the general fund. Wednesday nights, we've been taking an offering that helps us to be able to do the practical upkeep of the buildings and new things that we need to do that just comes with having buildings and property. Our Sunday school offering has just kind of been whatever. But I want to take our Sunday school offering, and this year, at least for 2011, for this year, I know God wants us to do this, we're going to take all of our Sunday school offering and we're going to funnel it into our missions program. Now, if you don't have a regularly scheduled opportunity to give directly to missions, there's a good chance that you might intend to do that, but you just don't do that. But that's the great opportunity right there. Now, you can give to them Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. There's missions envelopes in the pew in front of you where you can take an envelope, missions envelope, put money in it, put your name on it, and that will always go right to support missions. But we're going to take our Sunday. Now, Sunday school teachers, listen, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this during the month of February, but we want to keep missions in front of our young people. It'll be exciting for an entire year to be able to tell, as you're taking up the offering, tell about where that offering is going. We have a missionary of the week. I would like for us to take that missionary of the week and not just for a few minutes on a Sunday night read a letter to a congregation, I would like you to take that missionary of the week, and I would like you to be able to emphasize that family and that person in your Sunday school class. Let's keep missions in front of our young people. It doesn't take a long time. Hey, preacher, I've got it done, the lessons. I get that, but you know, you got to take the offering. You got a few minutes while you're taking the offering. We also have, in every Sunday school class right now, we have a picture of the missionary children that would be in that Sunday school class. We're going to get that updated. They're probably about 2 years old right now. But we want those children to come up. When we have Promotion Sunday, we want to promote those young people with the class so that those young people that are your children's age that are on the mission field are in that class. And teachers, you need to become aware of who these people are. You need to understand who they are. You need to be able to talk intelligently about them. And if you would take one missionary child a week and just say, you know what, they're not here in our class this morning, but somebody that would be here if they were in the States visiting us as a missionary family would support, and this young lady is such and such years old, the same age as you here, and so let's pray specifically for her, and the offering, everything you bring is going to go to help support our missionary families. And so let's do that this year and keep that in front of them. And other things that we'll cover during the month of February, Brother Reiser mentioned the youth conference in Owensboro in Kentucky. We'll have our Valentine banquet in February and these things. Now in March, young people, also there'll be a second trip in March. And Brother Reiser, and I'll say more about the youth in just a minute here, but he's developing this. This is the Young Fundamentalist Conference in Lexington, Kentucky, and he'll give you more information on that, but we're going to go there. Now I want to get to the spring program. We're going to do a five-week spring attendance campaign, five-week spring program, from April 3rd to May 1st. And all of the dates and all of these things are on the paper, so that you don't have to take notes. Everything's written down here. April 3rd to May 1st. And we're going to do a five-week spring attendance campaign. Now, this is where I'm going to need your help. This is where I'm stepping out on faith. But on Sunday, May 1st, the last Sunday of our spring campaign, we're going to have a homecoming Sunday. And I would like Blessed Hope Baptist Church, for the first time in our history, to break 500 in attendance on May 1st. Say, preacher, are you crazy? No, I'm not done yet. Yes, I am, and I'm not done yet. I don't want to break 500 one time this year. I want to have a big day in our fall program on October 9th, and I want to break 500 also on that day. And so I would like to break 500 not one time in 2011. I would like to ask God's help in helping us to see 500 people. By the way, we don't count with smoke and mirrors around here. We don't fabricate numbers. There's no trickery. Whatever numbers on that board are people that were on the property underneath the preaching and teaching of the Word of God at the 10:30 hour. That's who we count. I can tell you about some really interesting big days. I can tell you about some big days that were actually three big days counted into one big day. And I'm not interested in that nonsense. I'm interested in us setting a legitimate goal and going for it, asking God to do it. Now, this is good. This is important. It's good for a church from time to time just to stretch beyond our previous boundaries. Just to stretch beyond our previous boundaries. Just to say, Lord, by faith, we'd like to see something that's never been done before. I think I mentioned our class this morning. Reno Likens is good about saying, when is the last time you did something for the first time? When is the last time you did something for the first time? And the honest truth is, we get in a rut. And we just do the same things over and over and over. When's the last time you did something for the first time? Well, if we do this, with God's help, it'll be the first time that we've ever done it, and to do it twice in the year. So a five-week spring attendance campaign. Now, folks, listen to me. We're going to plan on having a good day and on our buses and whatnot, a big day on our buses. Of course we are. But I don't want this to be a big day based on just the bus ministry. I want this to be a big day in every single aspect of the church. And so we're going to go after that. We're going to pray and build up to that. And we're going to do some unique things, I think, in preparation and beseeching heaven that God would allow us to do that. I want every church member energized as we go towards that goal. Some of you have marked Sunday, May 1st on your calendar, and you've written on your calendar, come see if they did it. That's not the goal. That's not what's supposed to be on the calendar. Okay, this isn't a recreational, or not a recreational sport, a spectator sport. Thank you. This isn't a spectator sport. This is everybody getting involved. Everybody getting involved. Could I say this, folks? I promise you this is true. If you crunch the numbers, it's absolutely crazy that we don't already do it on a regular basis. We act like this is something that just would take some unbelievable Herculean effort. To have a church that had averaged in 2010, 281 a Sunday, go pick a couple Sundays and say break 500, if everybody in that congregation gets a little energized. Now come on, shame on us a little bit. The problem is, we have these days, and sometimes we get 30 or 40% of the church to get excited and actually do something. The rest of you think it's a spectator sport. It's not a spectator sport. You could bring somebody. You could reach out and touch somebody's life. You could go after somebody. And so we'll equip you, we'll help you, we'll encourage you, and we will shoot for that as a church family. Let's shoot towards those 2 days, okay? We're going to have a spring revival. I'm going to have Pastor Bill Dutry from the First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio, to be our guest. This is also the pastor that has in his church the ministry of bearing precious seed. I'm going to have Brother Dutry come on a Monday night and a Tuesday night and a Wednesday night and preach 3 nights here for our spring revival. I'm going to tell you that he's a wonderful preacher, and our church will benefit just by hearing him preach on those 3 nights. But I've asked him to do something else, and I'm going to talk to the different leadership aspects of the church as we near this and ask you to be a part of this and open it up to anybody who would like to be. But we're going to have him come, and for those 3 nights, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, just preach to us. Just an old-fashioned spring revival, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, just to energize the base and help us and stir us and ask God to do something sweet. But I'm going to ask Brother Dutry not just to preach at the 7 o'clock hour. I'm going to have him at the 6 o'clock hour. I want him to preach do some leadership training here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, every man that I've met out there in the ministry has different strengths, and some men, I would dare use the word, are experts in some area. If there's one person that I think has helped this preacher more on just the organizational side of constructing the church infrastructure in such a way where we can maintain and hold up solid growth, it's been Brother Dutry. Now, he spent a lot of time personally with me. A lot of the things that I've done in the first, especially in the first 3 years of the church, in redoing some of the infrastructure of the church. By the way, we don't touch the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. But we had to redo some of the infrastructure because in order to grow to the next level, you have to sometimes reorganize things. You realize your preacher has a saturation point? You realize every pastor has a saturation point? And so how does a ministry continue to grow? Well, it continues as we're able from time to time to hire staff members. That certainly helps. But I think that what Brother Dutry's taught me is one of the real keys to growth in a church doesn't always involve, even though it is necessary at times, folks, and this ministry is about there. Just look up here and listen to me. We really, really, really need to bring on another full-time staff member. I'm talking about, I'm praying that God would let us sometime in the next calendar year do that. And I'm praying about that. And the finances right now just aren't there. And I don't know if we'll be able to do it. But I'm telling you this, the church is going in a direction where sooner or later you get to a point where you need some more help. And I'm working Brother Jonathan. I'm working him. And Brother Gerald is now starting to work more and more towards Bloomfield and less here at Blessed Hope. And that's exactly what we wanted him to do. I told him, your job is to work yourself out of a job. But more and more responsibilities and more things as the ministry continues to grow is needed. But let me say this, folks. I believe that the answer to growth is not just hiring people all the time. There, lay leadership must be developed in every assembly. Lay leadership must be developed in every assembly. that means that there ought to be small portions and segments of the ministry that can be handed off to able men, spiritual men, that understand that they are there serving alongside the pastor with the same goal, going the same direction, and can work under the oversight of a pastor without getting their hackles up every time the pastor comes in and says, this has to be done a little different, or no, we're not going to do it that way, we're going to do it this way, and can be led and has a humility about them, but still a strength about them to be able to take a project, to be able to take a ministry, to be able to keep it going, to be able to handle it. It's going to, now listen, what I'm going to have him do is I promise you, if you go to these sessions in these 3 days, he'll give you more than you've got probably the time to think about for 3 months. And he's good at this. And so we'll probably serve a meal at 5:30. I have learned this. If you feed them, they will come. One of the mottos of my life. One of the reasons for the success around here, bless them. If you feed them, they will come. For the idea that many of you are getting off work and trying to get right over here. And 5:30 to 6 o'clock. Just be able to come in, grab a plate of food, and then starting right at 6 o'clock to 6:45, this will take place over in the fellowship hall, and he's just going to give you some good stuff. And so look forward to that. Be in prayer for Brother Dutry. We're going to have a graduation, and I've got that on the calendar, Blessed Hope Baptist School. What a blessing. That'll be a Saturday, May 14th, 2 o'clock. On June, we're going to have a busy June. I'm going to do a busy June on purpose. We're going to take 2 weeks, and we're going to do, number one, VBS, and number two, we're going to do both camps in the same week. We're going to do VBS on the 6th through the 10th. The very next week, 13th through 17th, I'm going to take our teenagers. They're going to Cedar River Baptist Camp in Letts, Iowa. Our juniors are going to Hoosier Hills Baptist Camp in Dillsboro, Indiana. By the 17th of June, VBS and camp will be done for the summer. That's a blessing. One of the joys of my life is to drive around through the hot months of July and August and see VBS advertised on church signs and just slowing down and laughing underneath my breath because they still have to do it and ours is already done. Amen. So we try to get it done quick, right away, right out the gate, June 6th through 10th, and then we'll do our two camps, boom, and get them done. Boys, we're going to head up to the boys' football camp again, August 7th through 12th. And we're opening it up. When we got up there, we learned some things. Is it fifth grade on up? Fifth grade on up. If you want to send your headbuster boys, fifth grade on up, to football camp, we're going to plan that August 7th through 12th. And so we've got that also planned. And there's some other things. I'll mention them in a second that's going to go on this summer. Just a couple things. How many of you ever heard of Evangelist Ron Comfort? Okay, he'll be coming on a Sunday, August 7th. Brother Ron Comfort preached at a winter retreat in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where I made some key decisions that changed the course of my life. And I thought, I've had him on my mind a lot in the last couple years. And it was as if God said, why don't you just bring him to Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Remarkable man. Amazing testimony, by the way. This man is a young evangelist. Contracted a physical problem, a disease that was going to take his eyesight away. And so he decided, well, I still have eyesight. I'm going to memorize as much of the Bible as I can. And memorized huge, incredibly large portions of the Word of God. God performed a miracle, healed his eyes, and he never lost his eyesight. But he's always retained those scriptures. Listening to Ron Comfort preach is just bringing you under Holy Ghost conviction for not memorizing more of the Bible. I'll tell you that right now. But this man is you know, they called Jack Van Impe the walking Bible. Well, I think that Brother Ron Comfort might be the running Bible. Amen. And you'll understand when you hear him preach, okay? And then we'll have our, that's just on one Sunday. We won't have a meeting just for that one Sunday. We're going to have our fall preaching conference. We're going to have Dr. Ed Johnson come. And I'm going to invite Pastor Terry Angel also. He'll be our second preacher. And how many of you heard Brother Angel preach before? Oh, my goodness sakes, you're in for a treat. He's a blessing. And then we talked about our fall attendance campaign, September 25th to October 16th. The dates are in here, 4 weeks. 4 weeks in the fall, with October 9th being the big day. And then we're going to do a third. And I usually just have a spring, fall, two meetings, that's it. This year, and we probably won't do this a lot, But I have really worked hard to try to get a particular man to come, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And November 28th, it'll be the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday after Thanksgiving is over, and after that Sunday after Thanksgiving, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We're going to have Pastor Marvin Smith come from Iowa, and he is going to do a spiritual warfare conference. Now, some of you are interested. You're tantalized by what the preacher started last Wednesday night about the invisible. Let me tell you something. You're listening to a rookie. We're going to bring an expert in here. You're going to be amazed what Brother Smith will teach you in 3 nights. This is kind of his area of expertise. And he will share more about the invisible creation. And this starting out point I'm doing on purpose early in the year to whet your appetite and get you thinking in that direction. Then we'll bring him in at the end of the year, and it'll be good. Christmas banquet, of course, Sword Sunday in December, those things. Now, that's our upcoming major events. We have other things going on, of course, that we didn't put just here. But these are the major dates that I felt like you needed to get on your calendar right away. Now, look up here, church. Let me talk to you about giving for the new year, okay? Every single person in here ought to have a giving strategy, a Bible-based giving strategy, okay? I preached the other day and taught on this, that you know what? There's three different ways that God puts things into our basket, and when it's time to reach into the basket, the very first thing he commands us to do is to reach in to give. Never lose your giving heart. Never lose your giving spirit. And just don't do it. Don't become covetousness. Don't become selfish. Remember, you are a steward. It isn't yours anyway. It all belongs to God. And anything that God would command you or direct you to give, you ought to be willing to do and want to do. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something this year. I already mentioned to you. The three, I believe, Bible-based giving strategy involves tithes and offerings that go to our general fund, missions giving, which we're going to energize in our Sunday school hour, and then you can remember in the Old Testament, they put a box out there and said, the only way we're going to maintain God's house is to put money into this box. And on Wednesday night, we put money in that box, and that helps us. We're getting ready. We're in the process of putting the lights up here. We hung other lights on the building. Folks, those things are not cheap. Every single thing you do, this building right here this year, the exterior of this building needs to be painted. You figure up. Go price the stain. Go figure up what it costs just to paint the exterior of this building. Now, somewhere there's got to be a steady flow of money that is for the purpose of maintaining the grounds, maintaining the buildings, and allowing us to be able to do some new things and upgrade in these areas. So that's the three areas where we direct you to give. General account, tithes and offerings, missions giving, all that goes straight to our missions account. We've got a separate fund just for the building fund offerings and building repair offerings. That goes in there. Now, every year there are four fifth Sundays. Do you know what I'm talking about? That means that on 4 months out of the year, there are not four Sundays. There is five Sundays. That just happens four times every year. The first one is this month. And we're going to ask you on the fifth Sundays in 2011, on the fifth Sundays, I want you to pray and ask God what you could give above your normal tithe and offering that you come to put in for the general account. This money we're not raising to do anything except help us in our general account. Folks, it's a struggle at times. It is. It's a struggle at times. And so what we're going to do is ask you to do that. A sacrificial gift four times this year on the fifth Sundays. Now, that would fall on January 30th, May 29th, July 31st, and October 30th. Boy, that's exciting, isn't it? I can just sense the excitement in here. Amen. Nothing like trying to preach about giving to Baptist people. Amen. I feel like I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. Now, let me help you here and help you to help the work of God. I have no idea who gives what at this church. None. None. Don't look, don't know. I don't on purpose. I can walk to the pulpit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and preach on giving, and you know what? What you do and what you don't do, I have no idea. But let me just say this. It's true in probably every ministry. We could probably erase those nights of worry and those months of leanness if we just would get every family to faithfully bring tithes and offerings every single week and put them in the offering plate. Now, I can preach against it. I can read the scripture. I can tell you the biblical ramifications, and I can talk about the curse, and I can talk about robbing. I can do it, and I do it. And from time to time, I do. Nobody. By the way, go on the website. You can listen to every sermon I preached in 2010. Listen to all of them. Mark the ones where I even mention giving. You do not attend a church where a preacher harps on giving. But I also am not afraid to preach on that subject, because the Bible has a lot to say about it. Now listen to me. Bring your tithes and offerings. Please bring your tithes and offerings. Your Christian school bill is not a tithe. Your Christian school bill is not a tithe. Okay, well, I paid this much to the school for my kids going, so I'm not tithing. Then you're robbing God. It is not your tithe. Okay? Tenderize your heart. Step out by faith. Do it. All over this church, there's been people that through the years, some of their kids are all raised now, but they paid their school bill every month, and they did not rob God in the process. They also gave of their tithes and offerings. Now, why do you think you're an exception? We need it. It is crippling the Church of Jesus Christ, not just this church, I think a lot of churches, simply because people get this mindset. They find out some way to justify in their mind not bringing their tithes and offerings on the first day of the week and putting them in the plate. If you are not doing that, I need you to do that. I encourage you to do that for the benefit of you and your wife and your children and your family and your long-term future. Do not fail to do that. Please give your tithes and offerings. Please give your tithes and offerings. There's many of us that are giving way beyond our tithes. Offerings in excess of our tithes. And I'm going to tell you, some of us are sacrificing beyond sacrifice, and we still can't keep the thing where it needs to be. And some of you walk in week after week and do not tithe. That simply is wrong. It simply is as wrong as it can be. And you know, this is one of those things where I don't know. And you know what? If I did know, I couldn't do anything about it. But let me say this. God does know, and God can do something about it. God can do something about it. By the way, how's that whole not tithing thing working out for you? By the way, how's it working out for you? Okay. And so think about these things and let them settle in. Because, folks, there's a lot that needs to be done. There's a lot of people that need to be reached. Now, let me just say a few things in closing, all right? We'll try to end on something besides giving. I want to stop right now and lead us in not to be like Jesus, but there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, amen. Let me say a few words just about some of the specific ministries. Before I close the chapter on 2010, I need to say thank you to the people that worked in the bus ministry here. 2010 was a remarkable year for Blessed Hope Baptist Church in the bus ministry. I would encourage some of you to pray about getting involved in the bus ministry in 2011. I want you to pray about that. I want you to think about that. I don't want you to just shut it off. Well, that's not my thing. Well, a lot of people that are on bus routes at one point didn't think it was their thing either. But just stay open to it. I met with Chad Gordon. I'm taking one of the many jobs from Brother Reiser that he's done a wonderful job with, and I'm giving it to Chad, developing lay leadership again. Chad's going to, in 2011, act as our bus director here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And me and him are working on a definite strategy. We're going to, folks, listen to me. You say, oh, we emphasized the bus ministry last year. Yeah, that was just to get the ball rolling. Now we're going to keep it rolling. We're going to keep the momentum going. We're not backing off. We're not slowing down. Oh, matter of fact, on some levels, we're going to even go a little farther. But I want you to think about that. We're going to need to buy two buses in 2011. We have one bus that we're going to have to replace this year. I mean, it's just come to the point where we're going to have to replace it. Those of you that have been here long-term understand, we buy these buses when they're 12, 13 years old. We use them for a certain amount of time, and then we, at some point, cannot run, and we will not run unsafe buses here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want to, again, I don't take time to do this a lot, but I got to say a huge thank you to Brother Jack Gordon for all of the work that he puts in on keeping our buses safe and on the road. Those of you that have mechanic skills, please see Brother Jack. Please approach Brother Jack and offer from time to time. Brother, if there's something that you need help with, if there's something I could fix that you can't, especially during the planting and the harvesting, with him being a farmer, he needs some help. I'll tell you right now, it's a thankless job. I'll tell you right now, sometimes you're going to be laying on the ground at 10 o'clock at night with a trouble light and trying to fix something so the bus can run on Sunday morning. But if you have some skills in that area and you'd be willing to help, just go see Brother Jack about that. It's important. We need to replace one. We want to help Victory Baptist Church. And by the way, they're going to step up and do a large part of it. But I want to be able to help. The second bus we need to buy, I want to put on the road for Victory Baptist Church over in Bloomfield. And so they're coming up with a color scheme of their own. And I told them, whatever you paint it, Brother Gerald, pray about it, because every bus has to be painted that from that on, you know. We're not letting them name the new bus. Of course, it will be Friendly Freddy. They can choose the paint. They can't choose the name. Amen. But we want to get something rolling over there. And so, hey, you know what? It's good to amen it, but that means we got to buy a couple buses. Pray about that. We've had many, many times in the history of this church, somebody walk up and say to our pastor, Brother Pastor Ross, and even since I've pastored, here is $3,000. Go buy another bus. If things like that don't happen from time to time, it's difficult. You say, well, get it with the extra money. Amen. We'll do that. Think about it. Think about it. Now, you think about this. A preacher, wow, you mean, they must be rich people. Yeah, look around. We got them. They're sacrificial people. Sometimes they've sold something of their own to do something like that. I don't know what a good investment is and a bad investment in the real world, because I don't live in that realm. But I'm thinking, if I buy a bus and for 5 years it runs on the roads here, and every kid that comes on there, there's some of that reward going on my account for the judgment seat, that sounds like a pretty good investment to me. That's like a pretty good deal right there. Maybe you couldn't buy a whole bus. Maybe you can buy a half a bus. Why do you bring these things up? Because I'm trying to get you to think. I'm just trying to get you to think. And folks that live this way, it's amazing how the blessings follow. The blessings come. And so think about that. It's not always the people you might think. It's not, you know, Paul said that he complimented the one church for giving out of their need. Out of their need they gave. So it's not always surplus. Sometimes it's the widow mite giving. Sometimes it's of their living giving. I like these subjects. You start separating the men from the boys. You start figuring out where the real Christians are. You're serving God or mammon. You're serving one of the two. You're not serving both. You see. And so you getting this? Amen. Take another breath. Told Brother Reiser, I met him this week. I said, Brother Reiser, I'd like at the end of this year for every teenager in our youth group to say that was the greatest year to be a teenager at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. He's going to introduce those things, so I'm not going to steal his thunder. But young people, he's going to unfold for you in the weeks ahead some exciting opportunities for you. And we're going to do some things, some good things, some fun things, but also some meaningful things. We're not turning our youth department into a glorified babysitting service. We don't live by that philosophy here. Doesn't mean that we don't plan some fun things and they go and do some fun thing. But we're going to stick with our biblical philosophy. We are more interested in preparing you and training you and energizing you into service to the Lord that amounts to eternal rewards than we are having hoopla all the time that really doesn't do anything but just produce a selfish, what's next for me mentality in our teenagers. And so we're going to have a good balanced approach, and I think some exciting things. I mentioned just briefly the other day, but by the way, let me just compliment you. Brother Tom, tonight's song service is just kind of the kind of nights you just look back and say, we just need to sing like that all the time here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, we've always been a singing church, and let me just encourage you, folks, let's not let down on that. Let's lift up our voice and let's sing in the congregation. I'm going to meet with Brother Tom. I told him, and I just can't get to everything as quick as I wish I could, and I'm going to meet with him within the next week or two, and we're going to go over meticulously. Let me just say this. Those of you that are singing specials of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, take the time to practice. Take the time to do it well, and be ready when you get up here. Too many times, Brother Tom had to come to me and say, whisper in my ear, there's no special tonight. I understand sometimes it's unavoidable, but that happened too much. Be ready to go. Be ready to go. We're going to develop some new singing groups. If you'd like to be part of the music, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, let me just look up here and let me talk to you a minute about that, okay? Folks, you stand here, and you're not going to play games. Okay? You're not going to stand up here as a hypocrite. You don't have to be perfect or nobody would sing here. But you need to be consistent. You need to be Christ-like. You need to be real. You need to represent what this church stands for. Okay? If you're not going to come to all the services, then don't ask to sing at one of the services that you honor our presence with. You're not going to be faithful to God. That's the bottom line on everything. What's the first qualification for? I don't need to hear anymore. For everything, the first qualification for is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Be consistently faithful and come and be a part. We need some of you in the choir. Some of you got out of the choir, you need to get back in the choir. Some of you haven't ever been in the choir, you need to get in the choir. We need to strengthen the voices of our choir. We need men in our choir. I don't have the greatest voice in the world. You don't have to have the greatest voice. Look at the guys that are in there. Come on. Standard can't be too high. Come on now. That's a... We've got some good singers, but let me tell you what the problem is. Here's the problem. 1 hour early. Come on, let's just be honest. What's the problem? Well, no, I quit because baloney. What'd you really quit for? Not what you're saying. Why did you quit? 1 hour early. That's the biggest problem. Is yes, it does shorten your Sunday afternoons. Yes, it does require sacrifice. But can I say this? My goodness sakes, when the choir's on, you talk about starting a service right. And choir, you need to come ready to go. Brother Bud, you need to have them ready to go. One of the things we want to develop, and this will help, we want all the Sunday school classes. I'll meet with Brother Bud too. We're going to talk about something. That was a good choir special tonight. I wanted to fly away when he got done leading that song. That was good. But we dismiss our Sunday school classes at 20 after. Okay, our adult Sunday school classes and our teenage Sunday school classes, we dismiss it. Let's dismiss them at 20 after, okay? Now, the rest of you can go to 25 after if you're not in the choir. But if not, you can go ahead and dismiss your class at 20 after. One of the things I want to do, and we'll look around and we'll get this set up, but I want to get a choir ready room. I need our choir to go to a room in between Sunday school and church and sing and warm up your voices. Amen. Those of you that sing know what I'm talking about. You practice for 45 minutes on a Sunday night, that's great. But you get up on a Sunday morning and you walk in and notice they haven't even had the congregational singing to warm up with. So we're gonna get you warmed up. I want happy songs, Brother Bud. I just want happy songs. If we don't start out excited, we're not going to get them going. I want happy songs. I want Jesus songs. I want heaven songs. I want second coming songs. I want doctrinal songs that energize the church, get us excited, and get us off to the... let's just, in all aspects of our music. Let me encourage you parents. I know we're taking a little time tonight, but listen, let me encourage you parents. We got to have a future when it comes to piano players at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We got to have a future. So one of the things I mention from time to time is encouraging you to get your young people. I'm talking about your elementary age children. Get them in, Get them in piano classes. There's some good Christian piano teachers in this area, and if you'll ask me and talk to me, we can refer you to some good Christian. I want Christians teaching our young people. I'm not interested. And by the way, I want Christians who know how to train church pianists teaching our young people. I like that. I want Christians who are training church pianists. That's the problem I have with running them up to the conservatory. The conservatory is not teaching them to be a church pianist. Maybe teaching them to be a pianist, but not a church pianist. And you know what God needs? Church pianists. All right, that are there to accompany God's people singing. Don't need to be a star. Just willing to accompany somebody. And so that's pleasing to God. And so we need that. We need some coming up. And all you guys, don't be looking over at the girls. Okay? Some of you guys, you know, if you'd put the time into it and you'd put some practice into it, you might find that God has gifted you in that area. And so just go after it. By the way, there's nothing unmanly about playing an instrument. I just want to settle that right now. There's nothing unmanly about playing an instrument. If that was true, then you need to get in a time machine, go back, find King David, and look him in the face and call him a sissy. Good luck with that. David was not a sissy. And yet David would take his harp and he would compose some of the most beautiful songs that are still in the Bible, both words and music. So there's nothing unmanly about that. Okay? And that might be your bent. That might be one of the things God wants to use you for in preparation for his service. So don't forget that thing. Our visitation ministries, let's keep them going. I'm going to close it down. Children's ministries, our Sunday school teachers, ask God for your own individual class. Ask him for a fresh vision. Walk in and look at everything. And man, does the room need to be just freshly redecorated? Is there something that needs to happen that you can energize? Is there a little mini program you can run in your class for the rest of January and February that just builds some excitement, you know? You know what, folks, if you don't have some ideas, talk to these experienced Sunday school teachers who have been doing it for years. They have a lot of ideas. And so talk to each other. And just say, how can I get a fresh vision for my class? Visit your class members. Sunday school teachers, visit your class member. And if you just take one a week and just say, preacher, I'm just going to track down one a week and get in their home, it'll cause you to teach with a different heart. My eye has affected my heart. And, you know, some of the things you get in the houses of some of these kids, sometimes they're a little rambunctious, and sometimes, you know, we just get frustrated. Get in their homes. You'll have a little bit more compassion. You'll have a little bit more understanding of where they come from. You might even have a little bit more appreciation that they're as good as they are. Amen. So think about these things. Heavenly Father, I would pray, Lord, that you'd take just the many things that we've talked about, Lord, and there's many more we could have. The clock seems to move so quickly, but Lord, I just wanted to kind of chat with the church tonight, Lord, and I feel like we've done what you wanted us to do. We took a look at the Bible. We saw, Lord, that it's important for us to heed the words of Jesus Christ. He said, look up, look up. He said, look out. And then he said this. He said, take a peek into hell. If you don't look up and you don't look out at the harvest, there's going to be a lot of people that lift up their eyes in hell being in torments. So, Lord, as we ask you for a fresh energy and a fresh vision, a fresh excitement going into a new year, I would pray, Lord, that you would help us. Please help us. And use, Lord, this church again this year. Dear God, we're not worthy. And I believe many, many times you use us despite us, not because of us. Lord, thank you for being willing to do anything with us. Lord, we want to be deserving of your blessing. Help us to live in such a way that we can receive the blessing of God and the hand of God upon our church. Help us to live in such a way, Lord, that we can go out and be able to spread the gospel and look lost sinners in the eye and not be looked upon or counted as a hypocrite that wants to say something with our lips, but our life says something so different. Give us a fresh heart and a fresh vision for the year ahead, we pray in Jesus' name.